Well, good morning again, and make sure you keep your Bibles open there. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. Please pray with me. Well, Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for this new year, and we pray that it will be a year where we are committed to following you, and so help us this morning to listen well and obey your word. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, did you know that the average person makes between 33,000 and 35,000 decisions every day? That means in 2025, you're going to be required to make over 12 million decisions. 12 million times where you're going to have to weigh up your options, consider the consequences, follow through or not follow through on something. So I hope you had a good rest over the Christmas break. And while none of us know really what 2025 has in store, I can almost guarantee that a whole bunch of those decisions will be easy. You know, like what to have for breakfast or whether the Christmas shirt that your mother-in-law got you is ugly or cool, just hypothetically. But some of the decisions that come this year will be hard ones. And when those ones roll around, we're going to have to know who we're following and how that impacts all our decisions. And so that's what we're going to be exploring today. And if you were here last week, as Bryson mentioned, we started our series on things Jesus didn't say. Today we're continuing it. And we're going to think about this phrase, follow your heart, as something that Jesus did not say, and how it compares with what Jesus did say in the Bible, all of which is going to help us making those decisions in 2025. But before we get there, let's start with our phrase of the day, follow your heart, something Jesus never said. And even though he never said it, it kind of sounds nice, doesn't it? You know, it's easy to see how people might have thought that Jesus would say something like that. It's pithy, it's simple, follow your heart. It makes us feel empowered. It's the kind of thing we love to hear, especially in January when we're feeling optimistic about the new year. You know, we like it because it gives us permission to do what feels good to us. And you don't have to look far to see this idea all around our world. Disney have been feeding it to us for years now. Even their 100-year anniversary film called Wish is all about a character who is following her inner dreams to make her personal wish come true. And this idea of follow your heart, it's emphasized even more given that at the moment there's a perception that our brains are becoming less trustworthy as a guide to making good choices. I don't know if you saw this, the Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year in 2024. Does anyone know what it was? Brain rot. Oxford says that brain rot refers to the supposed deterioration of someone's brain caused by engaging with trivial or unchallenging online content. And so while social media rots our brains, the entertainment industry tells us to follow our hearts. And so in isolation, it starts to kind of make sense, doesn't it? You know, why shouldn't I make that my goal for 2025? Then I'll get to do what makes me happy. But that wasn't quite what we heard in our Bible reading, was it? Do you remember Matthew 16:24? Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must let him deny himself." Hold on a second there. Denying yourself, it doesn't sound like following your heart at all. It sounds like the opposite. But why would Jesus not be on board with something that so much of our world thinks is the best way to make decisions? Well, it's because of what he says about the human heart in the chapter just before. In Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Oh. Maybe that's why following your heart is not such a good idea. Because it's the source of so much that is bad. Jesus is talking here, of course, about what the Bible calls sin. That it's something that infects every human and makes us want to rebel against God and do whatever feels best ourselves, even if that means hurting someone else or excluding them. The heart is evil. And so when we let it rule, we do evil things. And all of us can look at that list of evil deeds and know that they aren't godly. People murder or cheat or steal because they've decided that their needs and desires are more important than someone else's. But you know, that kind of thinking doesn't usually appear for the very first time in those big ways. It starts small. And as we dig deeper, it doesn't take long for us to realize that there are moments every day where our hearts pull us towards selfish, evil things. I mean, for me, it might start with the pull of my heart to put the cricket on TV for 5 days in a row. I mean, that's not evil. Surely God loves cricket. But if I choose to do that over loving my family or completing my responsibilities or serving my church family, then I'm just following my heart. And out of it comes evil thoughts and selfishness. And if I let my heart's desires make decisions for me day after day, and if I keep on practicing making decisions and practicing putting myself over my family in the little things, then it actually doesn't take long before I think that I can justify one of those big things, adultery, slander, theft, just to chase after my own dreams and follow my heart. Because my heart is evil. And maybe you can think of someone you know who already does this, just following their heart all the time. Maybe it's a toddler who changes their mind every 30 seconds, or a teenager acting on every hormonal impulse, or a grumpy old man who just does their own thing and doesn't care how it affects anyone else. I don't know who you picture, but those kind of people actually can be difficult to live with. And all of a sudden, following your heart, it doesn't seem so attractive, does it? And Jesus knew that. He knew that out of the heart come all kinds of evil thoughts and deeds. He knew that our hearts are totally fickle and selfish and unreliable and ungodly as guides to life. And so letting your heart make all your decisions, it's not a good idea. Jesus never said, follow your heart. And now we can see why. And so what about an alternative to this? If not our hearts, what else could we follow? Well, let's look again at what Jesus did say. And that's point two. Jesus did say, follow me. Come back to those words of Matthew 16, 24. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, instead of following our hearts, Jesus wants us to follow him. And if we're to do that, he says, well, what it takes is to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Now, let's think about those two phrases. Firstly, deny yourself. Notice again how it's the opposite to the idea of following your heart. Instead of embracing everything that you desire, Jesus calls us to put that aside. That following him means denying our sinful and selfish desires and choosing to pursue him, to desire his way instead. It's a willingness to actually give up on my own dreams and be ready to forego things, even if they feel good. It's a posture of other person-centeredness rather than self-centeredness. And it's not even just on occasion either, or just when we're at church. Take a look at the next phrase in the verse. He says, you've got to take up your cross. To follow Jesus is a path of denying yourself in such a way that you're prepared to sacrifice your entire life. To make your life goals Jesus' life goals. To want what he wants. To be willing to totally abandon your personal aspirations to chase after what God wants you to chase. And it makes sense that following Jesus involves these two things, because that's exactly what Jesus himself did. He was with his Father in heaven, ruling over all creation. He could have stayed there. But instead, he denied himself his place on the throne and came to earth as a human. And he went on to take up a literal Roman cross, to die a brutal death, all so that we could be saved and forgiven from all our sin. Not for his benefit, for ours, because he loves us. So following Jesus means we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, just as he did. It's like that game Simon Says, you know, where Simon says, put your hands on your head. And so you put your hands on your head. Thank you, Martin. Appreciate it. Simon Says, clap your hands. And so we all clap our hands. But when Simon doesn't say it, you don't do it, otherwise you'll be out. Well, Jesus says, deny yourself. And so we deny ourselves. Jesus says, take up your cross. And so we take up our cross. But Jesus didn't say, follow your heart or do what makes you happy. And so that's not the way we're to live if we want to follow him. Which I realize is not easy. You know, it's rarely the comfortable option. But it's actually the best option, because it leads to finding life. Have a look at the next verse as Jesus continues to speak. He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus says, losing your life for him, denying yourself, results in discovering true life. Sometimes carrying your cross, it might be more uncomfortable than following your heart. And I admit, you might miss out on what the world says you need to be fulfilled. But Jesus calls us to die to self, to follow him. And remember, these are the words of the one who made us. Jesus knows how life works best. And so when he says dying to self is the way to find life, we've got to believe him. We can follow him like a game of Simon Says because he loves us more than anyone else ever could, and he only ever has what's best in mind for us. And don't mishear me here. It's not just the removal of everything good. It's actually reorientating our lives to get what is best. And the rest of the Bible shows us that in Jesus, we get a life filled with meaning and purpose, joy and hope. And so it's not like following Jesus means all of a sudden you get rid of all the happiness in your life. That's not true at all. And anyone who's been a Christian long enough can tell you that. What was his actual words? He said, whoever loses his life will find it. Follow Jesus. And you will find true life. And did you notice that the opposite's actually true as well? If we keep reading from verse 26, he says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Attempting to gain life on your own only results in you losing it. He even says, if you gain the whole world, like even if following your heart went well, which is unlikely because of all we know about our hearts, you still end up losing your soul. I mean, imagine it. You find yourself on the front page of the paper. You've got millions of new online followers, you become a billionaire and you've got a mansion to live in. If on the 0.1% chance that you did get rich and famous and you gain the whole world in this life, Jesus says, if you don't follow him, you're still forfeiting your soul for eternity. So there's a choice. You can try to have all that your heart desires now, but it won't go well and you end up forfeiting eternal life with God. Or you can give up your life to follow him now and you will gain for yourself true life now and forever. That's the choice. C.S. Lewis sums it up like this. He says, if you aim for heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. If you aim for earth, you'll get neither. And so at the start of a new year, whether you're a believer or not, it's something we all need to consider again. For the 12 million decisions we're going to make in 2025, who will we follow? And it's a live question because of what Jesus says in verse 27. He says, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he's done. Now, this is Jesus talking about himself. The Son of Man was a title that he often used. And here he's describing this picture of the day he will return to earth and bring an end to this age. And the image we get is of Jesus bringing judgment upon every person. And the phrase at the end there, according to what he's done, it might sound a little bit like good people go to heaven, but it's not. And you're going to have to come back in a few weeks when we're going to actually dig into that phrase as another thing that Jesus never said. But here, in its context, Jesus is actually saying he's going to repay people according to how they've treated him. And he's already given us the formula for how that works in the verses beforehand. Remember? Lose your life for Jesus and you gain it. But try to gain life by yourself and you lose it. That's how Jesus will judge us on the final day. The test will be whether we've devoted our lives to him or to ourselves. And so let me pause here and say, if you do not yet follow Jesus, this is the year. This is the day to consider it. Because what Jesus is saying here is there'll come a day when everything will end and the thing that will matter most, in fact, the only thing that will matter, is how you've treated him, if you followed him or not. So you need to have an answer for that. But I know that many of us here today already follow Jesus. And so the question for us is, well, how will we become better followers of Jesus in 2025? What can we do to practice denying ourselves for him this year? Are you ready to take up your cross in everything you do? Because if there are 12 million decisions coming our way this year, I imagine a large proportion of them are not going to be big, important ones. And you know, sometimes we can be tempted to kind of follow our hearts when the stakes are low. And we assume that when the time comes for that big crossroads moment, well, that's when we'll deny ourselves and follow Jesus. That would be like turning up to run a marathon when you haven't done any training. We can't expect to follow Jesus in the way he calls us to. We haven't got in the habit of saying no to our feelings. We can't just wait until the huge life decision comes along and expect that in that moment you'll carry your cross. We won't be ready for the one day if you haven't been practicing self-sacrifice and being other person-centered on the 364 other days of the year. I mean, as far as New Year's resolutions go, if anything needs a gym membership, then it's our hearts. It's a muscle to be trained, not an idol to be followed. And every time we practice being other person-centered and flex that muscle of following Jesus instead of ourselves. We train our hearts to help us live all for Him in every part of our life. Because following Jesus is about every decision of every day aimed at living for Him instead of ourselves. And so, sure, you can stay up and watch that next episode, but will it mean that you're less patient with your family the next day? You've got to practice following Jesus. Sure, you can stretch the budget to get a bigger house or a nicer car, but it's actually God's money, and so how would He have you spend it? You've got to practice following Jesus. Sure, you could enjoy a quiet night in after a big week, but how are you going at being hospitable and investing in other people? You've got to practice following Jesus. Sure, you can go back to work or school and you can tell people about the great holiday you had, but is a moment of discomfort worth pushing through to share how you celebrated Jesus at Christmas? We've got to practice following Jesus. And following Him means denying ourselves and carrying our cross, which means we follow Him in the big and the small decisions. And so in 2025, don't follow your heart. Let's follow Jesus, who said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I pray that we do. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we long to follow Jesus, and so we ask that you would help us. Help us this year again to orientate our lives towards you, to resist the urges and the temptations to always be following our sinful hearts, but to be willing to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow you. And we ask that you'd help us to do that in 2025. Amen.